This morning is a time where we can break bread together as the Lord has called us to do, commanded us to do. Anyway, one of the ways I'd like us to consider doing it this morning is I would like you to go to your Bibles and I want you to find your favorite passage. We read Psalm 92. Now you say, I don't have a favorite passage. The Bible is my favorite passage. Well, that's pretty good too, but I'd like you to pick out a favorite passage. Passage that you have gone to, read, and if you say, well, I don't have a favorite passage, I want you to follow, because I'm going to ask some people to share their favorite passage. We're going to turn to it. And then it might become your favorite passage, okay? And the idea, of course, is that we would be able to worship together as you share a favorite passage. We'll note it's your favorite passage. It's not my favorite passage. It'll be your favorite passage, but it will become part of my favorite passages. Okay. Now, as you're turning there, the reason why I went to Psalm 92 this morning to have that passage read is because it speaks of what our privilege is to be able to praise God. But Psalm 91 is also one of my favorite passages. He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty will rest in the shadow. In the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I like those two verses because they remind me of the importance of relying upon Him, that He can be trusted, that He's my protector. Anyway, someone want to share favorite passage that you have? Go ahead, Stefan. What is the passage? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Why don't you come up here, Stefan, and come and read it for us, okay? Can you do that? I know you probably memorized it.
I don't need to put on it already. You go ahead. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Thank you. Another favorite passage. I won't make you all come up here, but just in case you were wondering. But Stefan, he looked pretty eager, so I didn't mind. Do you have one, Stefan? Favorite? You had your hand up. Welcome back, buddy. Give me a favorite passage. Philippians chapter 2. Okay. From 8 to 11? 6 to 11? Okay. I'm going to read it for you. But I'm going to ask you to come up and pray, Andreas, okay? I'm going to ask you to come up and pray in a second. Okay, let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very servant, the very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Come on up and lead us in a word of prayer here.
Himmlischer Vater, wir danken dir für das alles, was du für uns getan hast, durch deinen Sohn Jesus Christus, und dass du, Herr, hast ihn erhört, Herr, über alles. Und danke, dass du für uns dein Leben gegeben hast, Herr, und dass wir aus Gnade sind deine Kinder, Herr, und dass wir dich dürfen preisen und danken, Herr. Hilf uns, Herr, auch dir ähnlicher zu sein und dir nachfolgen, dich danken und preisen. Danke dir für alles. Amen.
All I can envision as I think back of the many times the disciples broke bread, as they broke bread from house to house, is that people gathered in their homes and they would open the scriptures. They didn't have Bibles like we did, and so sometimes they would just have pieces of remnants of letters. They may have taken notes on maybe pieces of wood, whatever the case may have been, but they would have memorized those portions, and they would have recited them many times over. Anyone else have a favorite passage they'd like to have read here this morning? Galatians 2, verse 20. Do you know it by heart? Come on up here and read it for us. Right here. You can quote it and then tell us why this is a favorite verse of yours.
Making it tougher and tougher as we go along.
Absolutely. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I like this verse first of all, because I memorized it, and it's just a long verse, and I know it quite well for quizzing. I don't know. I'm not saying I know it good, but yeah. I hope you don't. Whatever. And also, I like the verse because of the message that it has. Because as a Christian, it's no longer that we that live. We have to give ourselves completely up and let Christ do his work through us.
Another passage. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works which we have done. How would you describe grace? We had it in a song here this morning. You're living in Chile today, and you saw your country being torn apart by an earthquake of, apparently the magnitude was supposed to be roughly 1,000 times greater than the one that took place in Haiti, where 200 plus thousand people have died. What if you had survived? I saw some of the pictures yesterday. I went to different news items and I had a look, and I saw people coming out of their homes with some of their belongings and just being very thankful that they're alive. Grace has been expressed to us in song today. If we were worthy to break bread here today, if we were worthy to be able to worship God, it wouldn't be grace. We recognize that we're unworthy. And so we're privileged to be able to come into the presence of God because he loves us. Another passage of scripture. Another passage. 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13. Why don't you come up here and recite those for us?
And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Two very important things in there that I like about it is the promises. First of all, if we believe in him, then we have eternal life. Sometimes we think of eternal life starting sometime in the future after we die. Eternal life starts now. You got it, if you believe. And the other thing, we can also know. Verse 13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. If we believe, we can know that we have eternal life. There's no doubting. There's no worries. God promises it to us. Mike says I should pray. Okay. Father, we thank you for the promises you have in your word. And we thank you for these words that were written by the disciple that you loved through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. John was there when you told us to remember this every time you do this. In other words, every time we break the bread and I just pray, Lord, that as we do that, that we would have some sense of what John and the rest of the disciples must have felt, because we know they continued to follow you and they persevered right unto death. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us that kind of a zeal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another passage. Okay, Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Another passage. Go ahead, Willie.
John 3:16.
Mm-hmm. Can you quote it? That's right. Isn't that good that we can appreciate here today that God so loved the world, that his love was demonstrated in the giving of his Son, that whosoever should believe in him, that's anybody, regardless of age, gender, skin color, language, they should not perish, but have everlasting life. Psalm 92, and then we'll ask the Les. I'm assuming that you have some people that you've called upon to help this morning. If you fellows would come forward at this time. You are in your home, and you're a small group of believers. You've invited some neighbors from across town. They speak a different language than you do. You weren't raised together, but you've gotten to know each other because of the common bond that you have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You live in a city of 1 million, and as far as you know, there's really only 2 families. You've been sharing with people at work, but the light isn't coming on. They see that there's a difference in your life, but when you talk about gathering with friends and remembering the Lord and the breaking of bread, this is such a foreign concept. Mike and Carolyn Reimer and their family are going to Uruguay with a few people from different parts of the world. They don't know of any Christians in this town that they're going to. But they're going to faithfully gather around the Lord's table with those few families in their homes. And they're going to be praying. And our prayer today, as we're reminded from Psalm 146, in our adult class, that we need to be praying and being actively involved in sharing what we have so that others might be drawn to Christ. Psalm 92. As you gather with your family and your Bibles open, I hope that you would stress to your children and that as husband and wife, you would say, it is good. It is good to praise the Lord. It's hard for us to imagine what it might be like to be the only Christians in a community. We take what we have here for granted. But in the early church, they often met behind closed doors for fear. And so here we are with absolute freedom. And the expression of our heart should be, it is good to praise the Lord. I'm not a musician as such. I like to tinker a little bit on the guitar from time to time. You can see where all the musical talent came from my wife. Renee says it's not genetic. No, that's not true. She was very, very good with the trumpet. Yeah, she was. Yeah, I think she still could be. At any rate, to make music. And I think it's important for us as families that when we see our children and they've got talents and abilities, to encourage them to use those talents and abilities to the Lord. To proclaim your love in the morning. Some of you are not morning people, and I can tell. To do so, yes. As soon as you wake up, to praise God, to give Him the glory and the honor, as we were reminded in special music this morning, Victor so aptly expressed. And to do so in expressing the faithfulness of God. And the idea is that all through our lives, from sunrise to sunset, we proclaim the love and goodness and faithfulness of God day after day after day. And so as we gather around our tables and we hold hands, we wait and we say, Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you for the daily bread. I thank you for the knowledge that I have that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that you give eternal life, as we were reminded today. Verse 4. Have you been made glad by the deeds of the Lord? You see, Willie quoted a verse that is very familiar to all of us, regardless of language. But it's really important to realize that that verse should make you glad. It should bring you joy. It should bring a smile to your lips. It should help you realize and appreciate all that you have in Christ Jesus. It's no longer you who lives, as Marcus said, but He who lives in me and through me. And I live by that faith. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. That makes me glad. How great are your works, O Lord, and how profound your thoughts. How deep are your thoughts, as Nat read for us. Have you thought about God's great thoughts for you today? As we prayed for you this morning for the Sunday school teachers, my prayer was this, is that you would see in every Sunday school child the potential that God has for that child. That you would see their smiles and that you would love their free spirit. And even when they weren't paying attention, you knew that somehow God was going to get through. And then I prayed for you kids as you went to Sunday school class. And I said, Lord, may they understand how great your love is for them. Understand those truths that would be expressed by the Sunday school teachers. How great are your works? How profound are your thoughts for me? And so maybe today you're saying, I come to church, I go to work, I do this and I do that, and I cannot fathom how God's going to use all of this. Some of you may be facing challenges that we know nothing about. They could be health-related. They could be circumstances that are just mind-boggling. Maybe you have a family member who is going through a trial, and you're wondering, Lord, what can I share with them? How can I express these good things that we're reading about here? Well, it's going to start with you thinking about all the good things that God has done for you. I'm going to give thanks for the loaf. The bread represents the body that was broken for you and for me. A life that was sacrificially given, did not need to be given. In other words, God did so because He loves us. Of course, we hear that and understand that to a degree. But it was a choice that God consciously made in your interest, in my interest. He created us in His image so that we would represent Him here on this earth. So whether you're in school, whatever clubs you might be involved in, your workplace, God wants His image to radiate through you. And so He demonstrated that image in the giving of Himself, a life of sacrifice. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, today for these emblems. We realize, Lord, there are some who couldn't be with us here this morning who are normally part of our time here today. We want to uphold them. Lord, in our midst, there are brothers and sisters, young people, facing choices, facing the uncertainties of day-to-day life. We pray, Lord, that as we consider Your gift, the gift of Your life, that we would realize the confidence that we can have to come before You with our burdens, with our cares. That we can rest assured that You hear us and that we would be truly thankful as we pass the loaf from one to another for the new life that we have. We thank You for Your example, and we pray that we too would give our lives away as You gave Your life for us. And so bless this bread as we pass it from one to another. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to hear different ones share different passages. It's good to know that the body of Jesus Christ is alive, meditating upon the deep truths of Scripture. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, his deep concern was that they would continue to appreciate the great cost. He writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
Heavenly Father, we do come before you again this morning just thanking you for your marvelous love that you have for us. We do thank you for your willingness to pay for the penalty of our sin when you died on the cross and spilled your blood for us. And pray, Lord, that you will bless the cup as we partake of it and as we remember the price that you paid for us. We love you, Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I wonder how they may have closed some of their services. We know that they read Psalms 115, they read Psalm 114, 113. But I'm sure that they went to different. The Psalms was their hymn book. It was a, I'm not sure what tunes they sang it to. I'm sure that the different, you know, when you think of Paul planting churches with different languages and so on, that they probably sung it from different tunes, tunes that they were familiar with. Psalm 95 says, I'll ask you to stand here. We won't sing it, but I'll read it to you. It is part of our closing prayer. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry ground. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's pray together. We thank you again, Lord, just for the reminder of your marvelous grace to us to be called your children, to remember that we are the sheep of your pasture. We thank you for the opportunity for us to come and bow down before you and to worship you. May you receive praise, glory, and honor. Help us, Father, in this coming week to live for you and to honor you in all of our conversations. Help us as fathers and mothers to love our children and to raise them in a godly way. Help us to be prayerful and help us to be thankful. We commit our day to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. Have a great day. If there's somebody here you've never met before, go and meet them.